Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today's message is part four of a four-part series entitled Come to the Table, with today's message specifically entitled Laughter at the Table, based off of Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. So, let us dive into the Word today. The Lord appeared again to Abram near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abram was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. "My Lord," he said, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey." "All right," they said. "Do as you have said." So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, "Hurry, get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread." Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and roasted the meat, and he served it to the young men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" the visitors asked. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son." Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?' Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh." Amen. God invites us to pay attention to God's unexpected ways of working in our lives in moments of tears and laughter. Have you ever had a moment where, if you didn't laugh, you'd be sure to cry? Perhaps someone criticized you in a way that you knew not to be true. Perhaps something or someone hurt you, and you had to laugh it off even though inside you were crying. Perhaps circumstances such as your car unexpectedly dying, causing you to laugh out loud as a result of being at a loss of how else to constructively respond. This makes me think of the film The Joker, directed by Todd Phillips and starring Joaquin Phoenix, from which he actually won an Academy Award. This makes me think of that film, The Joker, which, if you haven't seen, I highly recommend, where the main character, Arthur Fleck, suffers from his own mental illness as well as his mom's mental illness. What's more, he gets made fun of by his coworkers, beat up by punk teenagers who see him as just a goofy clown. He gets beat up by other adults who think that he's laughing at them. In fact, he had a condition that caused him to laugh uncontrollably when nervous, called the pseudobulbar effect, or PBA, that caused him to get in trouble. And as I said, even beat up on a number of occasions, because the more nervous and scared he got, the more he would laugh, which would tick off the people that were making fun of him, and you know how that can spiral out of control. Sometimes we laugh, like Arthur Fleck, sometimes we laugh out of nervousness or anxiety. Sometimes we laugh as a way to cope with challenges. Sometimes we laugh because we don't want to cry. The story we find in our scripture reading today is of one woman's laughter in the face of the unexpected. Strangers visited Abraham and Sarah. Earlier, the couple left their home for a new land God promised them, and God told Abraham he would be the father of many nations, even though he had no children. Abraham and Sarah welcomed the strangers with a meal of cakes, of milk and meat. As the strangers ate, they shared that Abraham's wife, Sarah, would bear a son within a year. When Sarah overheard their table conversation, she laughed at the idea of finally having a child in her old age. Now, she wasn't laughing because she found this funny. Rather, her laughter was born out of her pain. It was not laughter, again, because the situation is funny, but laughter at the comicality of the stranger's statement. I mean, if she couldn't have a child back in her youth, why on God's green earth would she be able to all of a sudden have a child in her old age? Not just her old age, but her husband's old age as well. It was laughter that could easily be tears. And perhaps some of you know Sarah's pain. Perhaps some of you have experienced what it means to long and hope for a child. And some of us cannot possibly know that pain, even as we try to imagine it. Later, when Sarah does have a child, she named him Isaac, which means laughter, or he laughs. She says, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." Genesis chapter 21, verse 6. The great theologian Frederick Buechner describes this kind of laughter as the kind of comedy that brings tears at the hilarious unexpectedness of things rather than at their tragic expectedness. Let me say that again. Frederick Buechner describes this kind of laughter as the kind of comedy that brings tears at the hilarious unexpectedness of things rather than at their tragic expectedness. For each of us, God works in unexpected ways. No one else can interpret your experiences for you. No one else can tell you the meaning of your painful experiences or how to respond to them. Sarah's laughter and her choice to name her son Laughter were ways of responding to her experience for herself and making meaning of it alongside God. God invites you to make meaning of your experience and to look for God's presence even when it seems unlikely or ridiculous. Let me give you a brief moment or two to reflect on the ways that God has worked unexpectedly in your life. As a church, we have a powerful role of listening to other people, of sitting at the table with them through the unexpected, and of looking for God at work in unexpected ways. That doesn't mean we tell other people what to think or feel in response to their pain. However, it means we share together, cry together, and yes, laugh together. God works in and through us as we do, helping us to see God and each other throughout the full range of what life brings. I challenge you to answer God's call to make space for all God's children and their experiences at the table. Just as we have been talking about throughout this entire 4-part series. For if we have been welcomed, friends, then who are we to shun? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for your presence with us and for giving us this challenge to be as welcoming as we can be to all people, to be welcoming to revelation at the table, your revelation, to be welcoming to all of God's children being present at the table, no matter who they are or what their status is or isn't, to be welcoming even to our enemies at the table and to feast in their presence confidently, trusting that you, Lord, are working out your will in our lives as well as in theirs. And Lord, to be open to laughter at the table and different expressions of pain and grief and joy and celebration, so that we may all find our place at the table. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I am grateful for you joining in, tuning in, and listening to this this message. As much as I am honored and privileged to be able to bring it to you, I want to thank you again for tuning in. If this is your message for the week, if this is your getting fed for the week, then I would invite you to look at the link, or click on the link below, and joyfully and thankfully give to First United Methodist Church of Newton, which is the faith community I serve. We could use your help and support through this time. But also, if this is just supplemental and you go to another church or are part of another faith community, then I'd invite you to support them instead, as they could use your support as much as we could. This has been trying times for all churches across the board. So however and wherever you can give, do so with a joyful and giving heart. But in all things, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.